Bow with me as we ask the Lord for a blessing this morning. Lord, our God, we thank the Lord this morning for blessing us and giving us a mind and a desire to be in thy house this morning. We thank the Lord that thou hast blessed us so deep, so abundantly, Lord, all the days of our lives. We thank the Lord for the church here at Union Grove, for the blessing the church has been to us all the days of our lives. We thank the Lord for the great privilege of meeting in thy name. We ask that thou, Lord, bless the continuance of this service. We pray for Elder Ronnie as he stands before us, that thou would bless him with what he stands in need of. And bless us, Lord, we pray, with hearing ears and understanding hearts as we sit under the sound of the gospel. We ask, Lord, thy blessings upon those that have been called out here today, that are facing health problems, those that are confined at home, and those that are in facilities. We pray that thou would, Lord, bless each one. Grant them, Lord, memory of the meetings gone by, that they might, Lord, have a blessing this morning as we gather this morning here. Forgive us, we pray, of our sins and shortcomings, and thank thee, Lord, for all that thou hast done for us. Bless this, Lord, so abundantly, and bless this little church at Union Grove. And we ask all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Phil. Very much enjoyed the song service this morning. Appreciate the prayer that's been offered by our precious brother in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm hoping each one of you have prayed for this service. If you have not, I would ask that you'd pray at this time. Very thankful for the peace and unity that we had in our conference this morning. You know, that's something I haven't always witnessed. I've told this story a couple times to some folks here at Union Grove. I remember when I was younger, there was a Missionary Baptist church that had a little bit of friction in the church over a couple of issues. And outside the church, kind of got into a fuss, and there's a woman took her pocketbook and put a whooping on a deacon. So when I see peace and unity in the church, I'm happy to see it. If you have your Bibles with you this morning and you'd like to read along with us, please turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. We'd like to begin this morning by reading verse 7. We've already mentioned our effort will be concerning our article of faith number 1. We believe in one living and true God, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Our articles of faith here at the church declare what we believe. But our articles of faith are not the standard by which all things are measured. Our articles of faith declare what we believe. The standard is the Word of God. You realize if our articles of faith do not measure up to the Word of God, our articles of faith should be changed. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you that I'm convinced and I'm satisfied that our articles of faith here at Union Grove Primitive Baptist Church are consistent, perfectly in line with what the Bible teaches. This article of faith number 1, a good place to start to defend it, is here in 1 John 5, 7. The Apostle John would write by inspiration of Spirit, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Now, you may not know this, may not have read it anywhere, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you. There's many books in the world today that call themselves the Bible. Different translations. That this verse is not in. This verse 7 in 1 John chapter 5 is not in every book that calls itself the Bible. Now, when you consider the books from which the King James Bible was translated, which I'm satisfied that the King James Bible is the Bible for English-speaking people. It is impossible to conceive this verse would be missing unless it was left out by someone that was challenging that there is a God and that Jesus Christ is God Himself. John said, "For there's three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." It says almost the same thing our article of faith says, right? Someone may say, "Well, Brother Ronnie, that's the only verse you have to prove that there's three and one in the Godhead, that you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and they're three persons, yet only one God. That's the only verse you have." No, it's not. It's not. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4 is a favorite verse used by many people challenging Jesus as God. Those that said there's just Father God, and Jesus, of course, is a less than. I've sometimes poked fun at some of those people that would teach that and say they believe Jesus is like a God junior. Jesus is not a God junior, he's God. And they'll use Deuteronomy 6:4 to try to prove their point, but actually Deuteronomy 6:4 proves what we believe. And it reads, "And hear, O Israel, for the Lord thy God, for the Lord our God is one Lord. For the Lord, singular, our God, plural, is one Lord." In that text, Deuteronomy 6:4, the word Lord is derived from Jehovah. And he's singular, one, Jehovah. "For the Lord our God is derived from the Greek Elohim, which is plural, meaning mighty ones, is one Lord." So it's saying he's one, yet more than one, and one. Deuteronomy 6:4 declares that there's three in the Godhead, yet only one God. The Lord, our God, the Lord singular, our God plural, is one Lord. Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God," and that's Elohim, the Hebrew Elohim. To prove that it's plural, you go to Genesis 1:26, "And God said, let us," not let me, not let I, "let us make man in our own image." The Hebrew Elohim means mighty ones, more than one. So Deuteronomy 6:4 is another verse to teach what's being taught here in 1 John 5:7, that there's one God, yet three persons in the Godhead. Now I'm going to go ahead and confess to you, I don't understand everything about this. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul did not understand everything about this. Do you remember in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, he says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Something that's a mystery is not something that can be completely explained. It's still a mystery. Now, by faith, I believe these things, but I'm not able to explain it. And you may say, "Brother Ronnie, how could you believe something you cannot explain? If I can't understand and explain it, it's impossible for me to believe it." Let me ask you this, brothers and sisters. How much do you know about Pascal's law of theory? Can you explain to me Pascal's law of theory? What is Pascal's law of theory, Brother Ronnie? Pascal's law of theory basically states that if you have anything in a confined space, any pressure applied to any point in that space will cause pressure equally throughout that space. That's Pascal's law of theory. And you may say, "Brother Ronnie, you must have learned that in Lula." May have. Do you understand everything about that? I don't understand everything about Pascal's law of theory. But I do believe when I push my brake pedal on my car, it will stop my car. Do you realize a brake system on a car is based on Pascal's law of theory? And if I believe that car will stop when I push that brake, apparently I believe in something that I cannot fully explain. Brother Ronnie Hagler is here with us this morning. Brother Ronnie can tell you a lot more about electricity than I can. I don't understand everything about electricity. But I do believe if I stick my finger in that light socket, it will shock me. So I believe I could get shocked by something I cannot fully explain. I'm not able to fully explain how there's a God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and they are one. I can't fully explain that, but yet I do believe it. Why? The Bible teaches it, and I have something in my heart that clings to that truth. That there is one God. And that God is in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we don't have three gods, but one God. And these three are one in purpose. They're one in power. They're one in wisdom. There's not an argument. They're in agreement. These three are one. I heard a person say once it could be explained by saying one times one is, and times one is still one. Well, that's correct, but it still doesn't explain everything about the Godhead. I heard another person explain it by using Andy Griffith. You know, a man was arrested by Andy Griffith there in that little town of Mayberry, and Andy, of course, had his sheriff's hat on, and he said, I tell you what, I was arrested by you, but I want to talk to the judge. And Andy just changed his hat and put on the judge's hat. Well, here I am. It's the same person. But that still doesn't fully explain the Godhead. It's a mystery, but yet we believe it. And the Bible teaches it to be true. One God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Son is not less God than God the Father. God the Holy Spirit is not less God than God the Father. God the Father is not more or less than the Son of the Holy Spirit. They're one. And when we read Scripture about these three, we can see them plainly displayed, plainly being one. And this truth is declared in our article of faith all throughout the Bible. You know, when I think about this subject, there's three doubts that's been sown into people's minds throughout history. And could I say in today's world, the year 2020, there's a huge effort to sow these three doubts. The first doubt is, does God really exist? Is there a God? How many of you looked on the internet and someone asked the question, where is God? You know the next step after that? Is there a God? The next false teaching that's been sown in the children of God's mind is the Holy Spirit not being a person. He's just a feeling. It's just a feeling or an emotion. He's not a person. And of course, the third is Jesus Christ not being God. You know, the Bible answers all three of those questions. The Bible declares that God exists. He is. The Bible declares unto us the Holy Spirit is not just a feeling or an emotion. He's a person. The person of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible declares unto us plainly that Jesus Christ is God, manifested in perfect humanity. First of all, let's consider that, does God exist? And if you go to Romans chapter 1 and even read the Apostle Paul's argument to the Athenians there in Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul used the argument of revelation to convince the minds of people that God exists. If you go there to Acts chapter 17 and verse 24, the Apostle Paul speaks to them of creation, how God manifested himself in his creation, how he manifests himself in his judgment, and how he's manifested himself in that revelation in the heart and the minds of children of God. Paul does the same thing in Romans chapter 1. God in revelation, in creation, in our hearts, in his word, in judgments that you can see through history, has manifested himself so that we can believe and be convinced God exists. And when I say believe, I'm making reference to the mind. That we can believe in our minds as children of God. God does exist. When you consider creation, do you not believe that creation declares that God exists? Have you heard the argument on television lately? The argument that we came from nothing? That man came from monkey? That many, many years ago, trillions of years ago, there were some rocks that collided with one another and out came the earth and all that we see? What is this argument? The argument is there is no God. That's the argument. Psalms chapter 14, David says this, the wicked hath said in his heart, there is no God. What it is within. They answer and force out. I don't want this knowledge. There is no God. And then they spread this knowledge. And this knowledge is deluding the minds of children of God. There is no God. But God in creation declares unto us, he is and he exists. Let me give you a few silly illustrations. You remember the Apostle Paul said, bear with me a little while of my folly. Let me give you a few silly illustrations, okay? Let's think about this argument about God existing and manifesting himself in creation. Let's just imagine down here at Balcombe Deese Road and Highway 200, there was two vehicles, eat up with rust, about to fall apart, smoking, barely running, one coming up 200, the other one coming up Balcombe Deese Road, and they collided with one another because the one failed to stop at a stop sign. They collided. And when they hit, it was just a cloud of dust and rust. But when all the dust settled, I looked and there was a brand new Camaro Z28 sitting there. 2020. Yellow Camaro Z28. From that huge collision of rusty vehicles, out popped this Z28. You say, Brother Ronnie, that's silly. No more silly than what's being told. That what we see came from a collision of rocks. Heard I got two individuals cutting down trees. I got one person on one side of a hollow, another person on the other side of a hollow, and they're cutting down these huge oak trees, and they cut and they fall at the same time, and they collide with one another, and it makes just a huge dust of leaves. And when it all settles, I look, and there was a brand new wood house that was there. I mean, deciding and everything. It was just right. And you say, Brother Ronnie, that's silly. No more silly than what we're being told. That there was rocks that collided with one another and out popped the earth. All right, let's get something for the kids. Don't ever say I don't preach to kids. I had two boxes of Legos. And I got another person to hold the box of Legos. Brother John's holding a box and I'm holding a box of Legos. And we just pour them out at the same time, Brother John, and out pops Lego City. How about that? That ever happened to you, Joshua? Joshua's smiling. He knows that doesn't happen like that. You don't pour out two boxes of Lego, and all of a sudden you collide with one another, and you get Lego City. That's silly, Brother Ronnie. No more silly than what we're being told. Now, when you consider creation, I mean, my heart declares to me this is true. The Bible declares to me this truth, that God, the eternal God, that has no beginning, has no end, created all that we see. A God that stood on nothing, reached out to nothing, and spoke to nothing, and made something. And all this that we see, it was God that did this, not a collision of things, it's God. And by this that we see, and the Apostle Paul would say that in Romans chapter 1, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Clearly, meaning this, it would take a blind person not to be able to see this. But that's what the Bible says the wicked is. The wicked is blind. The wicked is foolish. But we, the children of God, that have God in our hearts, that have the truth of Scripture, can we not declare it was our God that made all that we see? God exists. He is real. He is the great I Am. He had no beginning and He had no end. Another way God has revealed to us this very fact that He exists is through judgments. Let me ask you, if you would have lived during the time of the flood, you think you could have questioned if there's a God? I don't think a God exists. All of a sudden the world was flooded. Oh yeah, I think there's some folks convinced. And a person might say, well, all those outside the ark, they went to hell. I don't believe that. Mm-mm. No, I believe there's children of God outside the ark. I believe there's those in the ark that God purposed to save in that ark. And I believe there's people in that ark that believed in God and feared God. But I believe there's children of God outside the ark as well as in the ark. But I don't think anybody was doubting that there was a God. What about Sodom and Gomorrah when God burned up Sodom and Gomorrah? You think Abraham was doubting? No, Abraham didn't doubt before. He sure didn't doubt after. What about the Tower of Babel? And they begin to build this tower for themselves that they may make a name unto themselves. You know, that's still going on today. People love to make a name for themselves. They begin to build that tower. And God, He stuck His finger in and smote their languages. They begin to be nothing but babblers of one another. Don't you think that declares the power of God? It sure does. God's judgments throughout history declares that He exists, that He's real, and He is Lord of heaven and earth. God has revealed Himself into our hearts. Do you know a child of God, I don't have to teach them to know God. I look for the opportunity to teach the child of God that knows God to know more about Him in their minds. But every child of God knows God in their heart by that direct revelation of the Holy Spirit. A child of God would not have to see, hear, or be able to speak to know God in their heart. I think it was Helen Keller. She couldn't speak, she couldn't hear, she couldn't see. And when they finally taught her enough Braille and sign language, They told her about the Lord. She said, thank you for telling me his name. I've known him a long time. See, that that's in our hearts declares, it's a revelation of God himself to us that declares unto us that God is real. You know, before I knew the truth, I believe God is real. Now think about the gospel. You know, in the Old Testament, they didn't have the word of God from Adam to Moses. It was mouth-to-ear information. Adam taught his son Abel. Abel, of course, was killed, but by Cain, Adam had another son named Seth, and he taught his son and his son. It went on and on and on, and they knew about the Lord through mouth-to-ear information. And through mouth-to-ear information, it's declared God is real. Let me ask you, if God was, if this was a lie, it wasn't truth, don't you think it would have stopped at some point? I mean, the Bible says where there's no wood, the fire goeth out. If this was all just a lie, something somebody made up, don't you think it would have stopped by now? But it's never stopped. There's a revelation in that knowledge that's passed from one to the other that can't be stopped. Why? Because the God that's in their heart has blessed them to have knowledge, and they tell that knowledge to another person, and it goes on and on and on and on. And you know what? There's these little primitive Baptist preachers still preaching the truth about God today. In all this, it declares unto us that God is real. He exists. And you'd say, Brother Ronnie, you said God exists, but you also said there's three persons in the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I believe God, but I don't know about these three persons. What if I was able to show you scriptures where all three persons were present at the same time? Would you believe me then? Go to Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. Luke chapter 1 and verse 35 is a wonderful scripture that has all three persons of the Godhead present at the same time. Notice it reads, and the angel answered and said unto her, this is unto Mary, the Holy Ghost, there's one, shall come upon thee in the power of the highest, there's the Father, shall overshadow thee, therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. There's the third. All three in one verse. When you have all three present at one time, you can't argue with that, can you? What about there in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14, where the Apostle Paul makes reference to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ being with them and the love of God, that's the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, all three in one verse. What about the Lord Jesus Christ when he would pray there in John chapter 14 and verse 16? He said, I will pray and I will call unto the Father and he will send you another comforter. There's three. Jesus himself praying to the Father and the Father sending the Holy Ghost. All three being present in one place. And all three are God. All three are eternal. All three are equal in power. All three are equal in wisdom. You know, Malachi chapter 2 and verse 10 declares unto us that the Father is God and he is the one that created us. Do we not all have one Father? Is it not one God that created us? Malachi 2:10. I go to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. It declares unto us that Jesus, he's God and it's he that created us. For by him were all things created. I go to Genesis chapter 1 and it was God that spoke. And the Bible said in the Spirit, there's the Spirit that created us. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were all present in creation. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all present and active in salvation of God's people. It's the Father that chose us. It's the Son that died for us and the Holy Spirit that applies that salvation to our hearts. If you ever read over in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, it reads, elect according to the knowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. All three present there in salvation. God the Father chose you. Jesus died for you on the cross. The Holy Spirit applies that to you, all present in salvation, all present in creation. And these three are one. Another person would say, Brother Ronnie, I'm not going to question that God exists. I believe he exists. But what about the Holy Spirit? I'm not so sure about him being a person. Don't you believe he's just a feeling? I'm going to be honest with you, brothers and sisters, since I joined the Primitive Baptist, I've heard that. I've heard people try to preach that from pulpits. I won't have it. The reason I won't have it is a heresy. The Holy Spirit can be felt. The Holy Spirit is a person. Person. How do you know he's a person, Brother Ronnie? Let me ask you. There in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Could just a feeling be grieved? Could you just grieve a feeling? You grieve a person. What about in Acts chapter 5 and verse 3, Ananias and Sapphira, Peter said they lied to the Holy Ghost. Can you lie to just a feeling? Can you lie to just a feeling? Can you lie to just an emotion? No, you lie to a person. I go over to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29. Of those the Apostle Paul accused of doing despite the Holy Ghost, that means you've insulted the Holy Ghost. See, for those children of God at that time, he would write to in the book of Hebrews to continue to offer sacrifices after Jesus Christ had died for their sins on the cross of Calvary. He said, you're doing nothing more than insulting the Holy Ghost. Let me ask you, brothers and sisters, can you insult a feeling? How about it? I just insulted a feeling. No, you insult a person. Yes, the Holy Ghost is a person that can be grieved, that can be insulted, that can be lied to. He's a person. You know, Jesus Christ, when he spoke of the Holy Ghost in John 14, 15, and 16, he didn't say he was a it. He didn't say it was a feeling. He said he was a he and a him. Those pronouns can only be used to describe a person. Yes, God exists. There's three persons in the Godhead, and the Holy Spirit in the Godhead is a person. Just as the Father is a person, just as the Son is a person, the Holy Spirit is a person. We believe in one living and true God, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, not the Father and the Word and a feeling. We don't believe that. We believe in the Father. We believe in the Son. We believe in the Holy Ghost, and we baptize. And when someone comes forward to ask for a home in the church here at Union Grove, it's the church that has the authority to receive them in. I've been ordained by the church to be an administrator of baptism, an administrator of the ordinance. I was ordained to be an administrator of the ordinance of communion, but I don't have the authority of communion, neither do I have the authority of baptism. That lies with the church. That's why I said, what would be your pleasure? The church will receive them for a canon of baptism. What do? Do I get up and I baptize them? Before I baptize them, I say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and this little feeling that we got that we call the Holy Ghost. Is that what I say? Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, Jesus commanded the apostles. Wow. If Jesus commands it, I think it'd be good to keep doing it. What do you think? Commanded them, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Three persons in the Godhead. And when I baptize someone, that's what I do. And they're baptized into the church body. That's not when they become a child of God. That's when they become part of the visible kingdom. That's when they're declaring to the world that I love the Lord. They're declaring to the world when God died on the cross, Jesus, I was in him. When he came out of the grave, I was representing him, and I believe I'm a child of God. Three persons, the Holy Ghost being a person. The third question, is Jesus God? Is Jesus God, or is he just a less than? Is Jesus something that was created by God to be a mediator and go between, but between us and the Father in heaven? Or is Jesus God that took upon himself perfect humanity and came into this world? Just as the Father is God, the Holy Ghost is God, the Son is God. When Jesus came into this world, became a heartbeat in a virgin's womb, he came into the world of our viewing. That's not when he began. Do you know the Father is eternal? And if we have an eternal Father, we're forced to believe in the eternal Son. You know, my dad, his name was Elder Marvin Loudermilk. You know who his firstborn was? My brother Bobby. Do you know the day that my dad became a father is the same day that my brother became a son? Not before, not after. Well, if you have an eternal Father, Brother John, we're forced to believe in an eternal Son. You can't believe in an eternal Father unless you believe in an eternal Son. You remember the text there in Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27? The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Praise God. I love that text. The eternal God is my refuge. The one that has no beginning, that has no end. He's the eternal God. The Father is eternal. And if he's eternal, the Son is also eternal. Galatians 4:4. When the fullness of times was come, what that means is God's management of time. Jesus did not come into the world at an accident of times. It just wasn't a happenstance. There was a purpose. There was a purpose time that he would come into the world. When the fullness of the times was come, God sent forth something? No, God sent forth his Son. He was the Son that was sent forth and came into the world. Martha said herself in John chapter 11, we believe that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God, which should come into the world. It was the eternal Son that came into the world of our viewing, not a less than, no God. The Son came into the world of our viewing. Why did he come into this world? Because he loved you. I don't think we could ever even imagine how much it suffered him just to come into this sinful world. If you ever notice there in the Gospel of Luke, he said, how long shall I suffer this generation? He suffered just coming into this world. Let me ask you, have you ever been in a place that it just hurts your feelings to be there? Just a lot of ungodliness going on, foul language, and you was like, boy, I shouldn't be in this place. It hurts me to even be here. Never happened to you? Do you realize you were hurting and you have a carnal nature that could find acceptance with that? Jesus did not have that. Jesus was perfect in every way. I want you to take the way you felt and multiply it by zillions and zillions. No comparison. No, Jesus suffered just being here in this sinful world. And he came into this world for a purpose, and that was to die on the cross for your sins. Why? Because we had nothing to offer the Father. And therefore, God himself came into the world and became sin for us that we would be justified in the Father's sight. Wow, that's a mighty love. Still, the question is, Jesus God? You know, Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 30, I and my Father are one. He's either God or he's a liar. There's no in between here. He's either God or he's a liar. The Bible says he's God. I believe he's God. For the last 2 or 3 minutes here, I want us to look at a couple of verses in John chapter 5. And Jesus made a statement here. When he makes this statement, people begin to question. They were angry because he made himself equal with God. Notice what he said in verse 17. He said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. What is he saying? There's no time the Father worked that I was not with him, and there's no time that I've worked the Father was not with me. John 5, 17. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore, they took up to kill him. We're going to kill him. They sought to kill him. He's broken the Sabbath. But he made himself equal with God. Jesus said in verse 19, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, that's the Father, these also doeth the Son likewise. What is he saying? Anything the Father can do, I can do. Whatever I see the Father do, I can do too. They're equal in their deeds. If the Father is able to do it, the Son's able to do it. If the Father is able to make someone's hand that's withered reach out and behold, the Son can do it too. If God the Father is able to step out and tell the Son to shine, the Son's able to do it too. He goes even further. Verse 20, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Verse 21, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. See, they knew that God the Father had raised people from the dead in the Old Testament. Remember in Elisha's day? Well, that happened. Jesus said, if the Father can do it, I can do it too. And he proved it because he raised people from the dead. As the Father had power to quicken to life, so did the Son. Verse 22, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. What is he saying? The Father is no greater judge than I am. And we'll know all that by eye one day when he appears in the clouds and all nations are gathered before him and he'll separate them one from another as a shepherd would divide his sheep from the goats. God the Father is not a higher judge than the Son. They're equal in their judgment. Verse 23, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. Glory, their glory is equal. The Father is not honored and glorified more than the Son. The Son is not honored and glorified more than the Father. They're equal in their glory and in their honor. Verse 26 of this same chapter, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Remember I said the Father is eternal and the Son is eternal, therefore the Father can give eternal life and the Son can give eternal life. Verse 30, he said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Their will is the same. Notice the Son did not come into the world to do his own will. No, he came into the world and did the Father's will. Why? His will and the Father's will were the same. The same. They're equal. Verse 31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. The testimony that Jesus Christ had of himself, that he's the eternal Son of God, my Father worketh hitherto and I work, is the same testimony the Father had of him in Matthew chapter 3 when he was baptized. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And all three of the Godhead were there that day. You had the Son being baptized, the Holy Spirit came down as a dove, and the Father spoke from heaven. Matthew chapter 17, when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, it was spoken, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus just declared here, he's God. And for us not to believe that, we're denying Scripture. And you've been asked, why is it so important, Brother Ronnie? Why is this article of faith so important? I'll tell you why it's so important. By believing that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are God, that Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is a person, that they're eternal, it gives us hope and salvation. See, if Jesus is not God, if there's not a God, see, the best that I have is right here. That's all I got. Ain't got nothing else but this. I'm going to tell you, Brother Phil, I need something better than this. I'm about tired of this world. I need something better than this. If someone just scrambled my brains and caused me not to believe that there's a God, that Jesus is not God, the Holy Spirit is not a person, then I'm going to be left in the misery of believing this is all I've got. Someone will say, it doesn't get any better than this. If it doesn't get any better than this, let me off the bus. I need something better than this. It gives me hope and salvation. See, I can't save myself. I needed God to save me. You remember when John the Baptist was there in that prison? He sent two of his disciples to Jesus, without he that should come, but do we look for another? What did Jesus do? He reminded him of all the miracles that he was doing. If you ever went back and read Isaiah chapter 35, that all those miracles will be done when God comes to save us. John knew that scripture. Can I say he died in peace? He died in hope, believing that Jesus is God, that God exists, and there's something better than this world. You know, by me believing this article of faith, by me believing what the Bible says about God and Jesus Christ being God and the Holy Spirit being a person, it gives me comfort, because I believe there's someone that has more authority than the people in this world, that I have someone to look to that doesn't change, that always does things the right way, that's able to answer me in my times of need. I mean, can you just imagine if all we had was political officials to call upon to help us? See, I got somebody greater than political officials to call on to help me. It's my God, and he's the sovereign ruler of this universe. I'll tell you something else that gives me peace. Because, see, he's God. He can't lie. And he's told me it's all going to turn out all right. Boy, I tell you, things are tough right now, but I assure you by the word of God, God said it. Man, all he's done is repeat it. Gospel preachers have been repeating it. God said it. And he said this, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Those were the words of God. God. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. That means provide. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come unto you and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Let me ask you, where God is right now, do you think there's trouble? No, it's heaven above. It's all well. It's all peace. I want to tell you, home is in good shape right now. See, this ain't my home. This is not my home. This is all trouble. But see, home is in good shape. Home is all peace. Home is all happiness. And I'm looking forward to going there one day. But until it's God's will for me to go there, let me be here declaring this truth that God is, the Holy Spirit is, the Son is, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And they love me. I've got that hope. They love me before the foundation of the world. They love me. Hallelujah. They will have me. They will have me in glory. So See, if the Father loved me and Jesus died for me, the Holy Spirit will have me in glory. Otherwise, they're not a three-in-one Godhead. The only way we got a three-in-one Godhead, if it's the same people the Father loved, it's the same people the Holy Spirit gives that salvation to, it's the same people that Jesus died for on the cross, and that's what we've been teaching with predestination election, right? Praise God. I love this. We believe in one living and true God, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. I believe that article of faith is just right, just like it is. May God richly bless us in our prayer. If anyone would like to come forward and ask for a home here at Union Grove Primitive Baptist Church, I'd like to encourage you to do so while we stand and sing. What's the hymn number, Brother John? Hymn number one. Time.